Hey, Phil Levasseur here at the Breath of Life Conference. We have here Ed Rocket, and he hails from Santa Barbara. Welcome, Ed.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Ed, what's your background and why are you interested in coming to the Breath of Life Conference?
Well, I am a member of the association. I have just graduated from the program about a year and a half ago. My teacher, Sharyona Manzam, received all the information about the conference and the speakers, and it's just such a great opportunity to reawaken to the work. You know, when you're doing your work alone, there's not the feedback, you don't get the languaging from anybody around you. So you come to a conference like this to just touch into the material again, be with like-minded people who are turned on by a dynamic work.
You've completed a course in biodynamic cranial sacral work, and what brought you to that? What's the inspiration for even seeking out this work? I've talked to many people, and everyone has such a unique perspective.
Yes. I was receiving cranial work from Sharyona, and that was for head trauma. I've been involved in many accidents, starting at a very early age. 2 car accidents, 3 bicycle accidents, a skateboarding accident, falling 12 feet out of a barn in Ireland, hit and landing on my head, but many head injuries. Throughout the years, I've received support in different modalities, chiropractic. I received work with an acupuncturist, massage. So I've turned to the healing arts to work with the trauma. Had an opportunity to work with a cranial therapist about 5 years ago. The work was just so marvelous. It was so transforming. It was out of town. I was at a workshop up in Big Bear, in Southern California, and the practitioner who did the cranial work, I didn't even know the word cranial sacral therapy. I chose this practitioner because I didn't even know what she was doing, and I had the most marvelous session. And she told me it was one of the best therapists around was in Santa Barbara and gave me the name, and I contacted that person, which was Ray Castellino, and Ray just said he wasn't doing privates, he was just teaching. He turned me on to Sharyona, and it was a blessing. So I turned to cranial work for working with the head trauma, and it's just been a marvelous thing.
Where do you go to for these? You may have other practices in mind that you do.
I do, yes.
But the cranial sacral seems to be a core resource for you, a core tool, mm-hmm. and you may bring in other modalities.
That's right. My background in the healing journey is really with Tai Chi and Qigong. For the last 26 years, being a practitioner and studying with a master for 13, and now presently in the last 10 years teaching. So that really slowed me down and began the journey of rebalancing. Along the way, being a musician, I met some people who were really into vibrational music or harmonic music for healing. So I'm able to incorporate during my sessions now some of that work, especially the music. Tibetan singing bowls provide, if the client is open to it, and they usually are, an opportunity to bring deepening resonance immediately, because the singing bowls bring this harmonic, energetic bass that allows the client to just immediately begin to relax and open to more of the sensations in their body, because they're not thinking about what's happening. They're just getting into the groove of the sound of the Tibetan bowls. So that resonant piece begins. I usually offer that, and people are eager to experience that. It's really helpful beginning of a session to just have a client just immediately relax, drop, and go into what you might call the zone of stillness and quiet.
Yes, and particularly getting people to be settled. Everyone has a different way, so that's a unique and interesting way, mm-hmm. Using these healing bowl techniques. I know massage therapists, you know, they'll play Enya or something. And,
sure.
But this is more than setting a mood. This is actually affecting people on a cellular level.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does, yeah.
What informs you of what the client needs? Now, I've talked to many people, and everyone has different techniques, but mm-hmm. there are some basic ones. Of far as the breath of life is concerned, but mm-hmm. you talked about stillness. Is that also what you look for, or well, the lack of it?
Just to back up a little bit, as the client comes in, and especially the stages of working with a client, it's really important to have the resonant piece revolve around this conversation. It seems that some of the story that they have is really important, and that's why they've come to the door, and so I meet them at that place. So that's really the beginning of a place where gentleness and receptivity and empathy really are important, and it was talked about in the conference today about safety. The client needs to know that they're safe. When that piece seems to be in place where, you know, the question is, are they ready to lay on the table and have a session, you know, it moves in a way that it's, you know, the resonance is already being formed in relationship. The next piece is just negotiating space and comfort and making sure that they feel settled. Real simple things, you know, related to pillow under the knees, a pillow under their head, a blanket. These are just things where the client begins to just feel, oh, somebody's taking care of me, and asking questions from what do I want? You know, that's a real unsettling thing to have somebody watch out for you. Then negotiating the touch, whether it's something that they want. Then some people, touch is a really personal thing, and getting into personal space. So talking about that. And most people are willing to have the hands laid on them and negotiate a space where that could be good for them to settle. So I usually start at the feet. It's a very settling place, grounding, comforting, really. It's a good, for me, just a good way to drop into that first stage of just settling down together. I always take a pause before I touch the client to settle myself. That's the word, ground myself, to feel my midline, to feel the energetic field that's starting to form, you know. What is the distance that I want to, it seems appropriate to be near this person. Some people, real problems with being somebody being too close. So let's just start having a discussion and asking questions gently, slowly, and asking if they're ready. Are they ready for touch? So these are just real preliminary, simple things that are part of our work. And it's respectful, it's slow to go into a deeper place, that, especially with safety as an issue. It's so important to have that kind of initial slow interchange with them and negotiate everything. So that is backing up from your question, you know, to even get to a place in a session, you know, you have to go through these really gentle, slow stages. That's the way I approach it.
The relaxation response, just from that particular mindful basic approach, mm-hmm. is welcoming someone in your home or in a practice, and probably, you know, 50% of the work right there, safety, comfort,
yeah,
and resonating and in dialogue. And dialogue is very important because of the communication, what people need to ask for, or you can ask certain questions.
Yes.
And then there's the settling in of the cranial sacral work.
Yeah. And I tell them, too, that it's their session, and they're in control. They need to speak up at any point that they need something or want to change or something's not working. Or that. So giving lots of permission for them to be aware of what their needs are. It's really not about me. I'm there to support their health. It's their session. So I try to turn that over to the client to let them know that it's about them. Even though they've come in the door, they're in my space, they're laying on somebody else's table, somebody's going to do something for them or to them a lot of times, you know. So it's pretty important for people to know it's really for them and about them. At the end of the cranial training, which was 700 hours, my teacher had made a recommendation to our class that to really support a client, we need to really work on our own stuff. It was a pretty important thing for her to say. And the bottom of that idea is that if You're working at a very deep place. A lot of the early material, a lot of trauma, just family stuff and genetic stuff. There's so much involved that can show up in a session that could activate myself, you know, as a practitioner. If I haven't worked on my early traumas around family, being around pre and perinatal, if I haven't worked that material, I can be activated and suddenly the session is not going the right direction. I'm not supporting the client in their space of what they need. I'm suddenly activated in my own nervous system. My own traumas are showing up and we're not supporting a client that way. So Sherrion recommended Ray Castellino's work to work on the early childhood traumas, especially around the birth and the early baby preverbal, because there's a lot of preverbal trauma and shock memories. So I'm now involved in a 2.5-year training with Ray Castellino in working with pre and perinatal birth traumas.
That's pretty interesting. The first day here at the conference was, it seemed like there was a theme of the perinatal,
that's right,
prenatal theme, and so people talked about those traumas and just the experience, and you have to include that. It's part of the whole person. You know,
that's
we've
right.
all been born. We've all had different ways of being
yes.
born, and so another part of understanding the meeting the client at some point,
that's right.
or meeting yourself and understanding where a lot of your maybe illnesses or perspective or perceptions that
yes.
come from. Pretty fascinating.
It is. I've just had one 6-day module with Ray and the group, the new group, and it's really exciting work and very difficult. It appears to me, and you know, I don't know enough about the material that Ray's going to cover over 2.5 years, but it's pretty apparent from the beginning that most of the structural, emotional, spiritual, all these traumas that play out in our adult lives are, you can trace them right back to the womb and to the birthing process and to the pre-verbal time of the baby. And That's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's I'm pretty numb to my own birth. My mother didn't tell me what happened. My father didn't tell me. They're both not available to ask those questions. The memories are all in my body. And so Ray, in the first module, has given us a method to work with our own bodies and come to the truth of the questions we have around our conception and our time in the womb and our birth. And it's quite amazing to ask questions and use his methodology to find answers. And so that's what's happening right now for me. I'm working on that material, and it's I've come across some pretty challenging things already.
And are you finding that you can acknowledge some of those things that are revealed, those truths, in a way that is freeing?
That's right.
That, you know, assists you in not
that's
only yourself, but then also a different way of meeting
that's
a
right.
client in a practitioner standpoint.
That's right. All those early preverbal traumas and memories, shock memories, are held in my system. Not only that, but there was a drug administered to my mother, so they gave her an adult dose. There's a little baby in there receiving the same. So I was drugged. I was taken, put in a, you know, place where they put the babies. What are those rooms called? Whatever.
It's baby jail, I think.
Baby jail in hospital. I was forced with a bottle and a terrible plastic nipple. You know, I saw myself screaming and turning away from that. I didn't want any part of it. So this is the kind of release of that kind of trauma that I can shine some light on it, breathe into it. I can, in a sense, liberate it from a stuck place. And now it's a living breathing part of consciousness versus a suppressed kind of unconscious place that has a stronger influence on me as a person and then again as a practitioner.
You've put it in a position where you're just understanding what's so. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of freedom and there's healing.
There's healing.
And then, well, is there anything else that you hope to find at this conference or anything that's shifted for you? Anything interesting since you've been here a few days?
I had the most amazing experience with a gentleman who comes from the East Coast, upstate New York, who, Daryl Brand is his name, and Daryl has brought forth very significant work related to the harmonic healing aspects of music, and it was really a life shift for me to hear him talk about the specific harmonies that can heal specific parts of the body. And since I've worked with sound myself, I've always used sound as a general means to help people relax or to go into a healing of whatever is initiated for them. But Daryl is bringing along specific harmonic frequencies that go directly to specific places in the body to heal. And it's absolutely exciting work that he has done, and it's the conference has been wonderful with all the speakers, but Daryl really lit me up with the information he brought.
I have to visit with that at some point.
Yeah.
Frequencies, we know about continuum, where we use sound in the body.
That's right.
Frequencies make sense, and you talked earlier about the Tibetan healing bowls.
That's right.
Sound is, even our voices make a difference.
So true. The Tibetans believe that the highest healing modality is your own voice. There's something to explore there, so that's why they tone so much.
Hmm. Well, Ed Rocket, thanks for participating and coming by and sharing your thoughts about the Breath of Life conference, and good luck.
Oh, thanks so much.